Blog Talk Radio.
Well, Moshe is the message, got to get the message to our brothers and sisters.
Alafia Jimhotep. Greetings and welcome to the Care to Read Room. You have your Omega 7, your Emperor is in the house, here to serve you. I am your advisor and I am your advocate, the one you need. Once again, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining me on this Friday. This is TGI Friday, ladies and gentlemen, and we are going to calm things down a bit, but we're also going to kick some stuff up as well. As you know, it's Friday, right? And Omi sets aside sabbatical before she goes on sabbatical. How about that? How do you like that, ladies and gentlemen? Welcome once again. You are locked in now to the room. The number is 646-478-0270. If you're not anticipating going on this ride, then you might want to leave the room. But if you're looking to get on the train, then come on the train and travel with us this evening so you can come into the room now, ask those questions, and also present your homework. Remember, we were talking about the black laws and the black codes. I asked you to do some research on that. I'm putting in an offer to anyone out there who's done that homework to come in and get a bonus point. That's right, yes, GOMI does give bonus points for those people who complete their homework. You didn't know this was a classroom? Well, act like you know now. Once again, I'd like to thank you for joining us on this tour. But before I can get started doing anything, you know I am the Emperor. I must have that drum roll. I simply must have that drum roll. Where are those drummers? Where are they, drummers? Where are you? You know you're so sweet sometimes, and I'm kissing up to you. Oh, here they come. Here they come, ladies and gentlemen. I am the Emperor, and I am here at your disposal. Whatever you like, I am here to serve so much, ladies and gentlemen, and thank you, drummers. Those are the Kofi drummers, and don't they play so well, wouldn't you agree? Ladies and gentlemen, right now I'm going to acknowledge my elder and greet her and ask for permission to speak. Elder, do I have permission to go on with the service today?
Yes, by all means you have permission to go on with the service.
Thank you so much, Elder. And ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to once again welcome those who I haven't spoken to this year. A happy new year. This is 2011, and we're ready to get off on the road with a new year. Once again, ladies and gentlemen, you know we have been talking about reparation, and was Lincoln our great emancipator, proclamator? And we will be discussing plans that touches about, you know, talks about, was he really for freeing the slaves? And during that particular time, what was the advice that was given not to ship the slaves back and why? We'll be getting into that topic, ladies and gentlemen. However, I'd like to just read you a little piece from some constitution that you should have as a pocket carrier called the Constitution of the United States. And I'll be reading from page one. You can purchase that through your White House, or through your state. Constitution of the United States. We, the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for our common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty, to ourselves and our posterities, do ordinate and establish this Constitution for the United States of America. And ladies and gentlemen, it proceeds on with the articles. And if you remember anything from social studies, we had to memorize those articles and be able to give a definition for each one of them. Now, this Constitution is held to be self-evident that we and all men are created equal. But were we really created equal? And in the eyes of who? And who was this Constitution written for? And during this time, was Lincoln really being advised by the House of Representatives to always infer to all men and women being equal? Or did some of the people get separated out as three-fifths of a human being? Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to get into all that discussion in a minute. However, I want to talk to you a little bit about the fact that African Americans here in this room who have been attending have voiced their opinion to the fact that they believe in reparation and they think we ought to deserve it and have monetary gains. But out there this evening, if they're one of you who don't believe in reparation and don't think we deserve it, voice your opinion and call in. Call in. Go ahead on and call in and lock that dial in at 646-478-0270. And ladies and gentlemen, I want you to understand that this is the time that you certainly want to talk about what will reparation do for us and how might it free us and give us land, our 40 acres and a mule. You can voice your opinion. You can talk about it. Ladies and gentlemen, the more it's talked about, the more that it will be addressed. And I had talked to the African Americans about things that we needed to get in order in our household, especially to the young people, about how we are going to have to change some attitudes and behaviors. And we talked about those things. And mothers and fathers, I want you to continue to talk to your youngsters about the fact that they ought to know who they really are and what pretense are they freed up under. You have to go over the Constitution with them from time to time. You have to allow them to recite the amendments and talk about what rights they have. It's very important that we should understand the 13th, 14th, and 15th Amendment, because those amendments were written for the African American, for the minority, you would say. Now, who determined that we were minorities? And how did we come up with that term? When over one-third of the earth is made up of non-Melanite people, how could we be a minority when we are in every aspect of the diaspora all over the world? The only way you could be is that some people are not counted as being a minority. However, we have taken on the concept that we are the lesser people on this universe. But that might not necessarily be true. It might just be a concept that we don't hold to be a truth and a self-evidence. Once again, ladies and gentlemen, we're in this room talking about reparation and how do we obtain reparation, and was Lincoln our real emancipator, proclamator, and did he prevent or try to come up with a scheme so that he wouldn't have to free the slaves, and was he ready to ship the slaves back, and was he apprehended and told no? And we'll find out that in a few minutes about exactly why the congressman did not want to ship us back and what need did they have for us. Ladies and gentlemen, stay tuned. We're going to go to station identification because you know we cannot do anything without the power of faith. It is the power of faith that leads me every day. Join me in the power of faith. on their backs, and they've carried us through the century, a large portion of all human beings have benefited from the African Americans being here in the United States. Entertainment, we have brought forth a slew of specialists in their field of entertainment, also in the realms of sports and activities. Africans have come here and become real citizens, most people would think. But what has happened is that a large portion of those African Americans have not been given their full citizenship here in the United States. But we know that God will never put any more on us than we can bear. Some of us have bear the unbearable, have gotten in the trenches and ended up stuck there. Some of them have never gotten their equal share and stayed on welfare their whole entire lives, and that system has been passed down to their children and their children. But God will never put more on us than we can bear, you said, Omi. That's right. He'll never put more on you than you can bear. If we weren't resilient and able to bounce back, do you think he would put more on our backs? No. God will never, no, no, never put more on you than you can bear. I've been broken in two places. I've seen lightning flash through the air. But God will never, no, no, never, never, no, he'll never put more on you than you can bear. God will never put more on you than you can bear. Whatever he is putting you through and buffering you through a system where you're being buffeted, you're being prepared for some other leadership role. So those of you who have been standing out front and have gotten pretty beaten up, you think, and have gone through the ringer, and you felt that God put so much on you that you thought you wouldn't be able to bear it, I've got good news for you. We are winners. And the book says that we win in the end, that we are winners. So we will overcome the situation. Even with the Emancipation Proclamation, in the end it says we win. Are y'all ready? It's Friday. Let's get ready. If you're ready, stand up and say, I'm ready. We are winners. You know, ladies and gentlemen, we are winners. Each and every one of us have to understand that there is nothing on this face of this earth that can be placed on us or put on us. God will never, no, no, never, never, put more on you than you can bear. I want you to know that, ladies and gentlemen. No matter what you've gone through and what hardship you've seen, I don't care if you've seen lightning flash in many different directions, he will never put more on you than what you can bear. And those things that he has put up on you, ladies and gentlemen, just know this, that God is preparing you for something, a great role, a great opportunity, and a great leadership. Those of you who are leaders in your community, stand to your feet, because sometimes you feel like you're alone. I know. And sometimes you feel like you don't have the support system you need. And sometimes you feel like you can't bear anymore. And even sometimes there have been times when you felt like you couldn't go on. I want you to know that there is a ram in the bush for you. All you have to do is look aside. You don't have to sacrifice that family, that child. You don't have to. There is a ram in the bush for you. There is a way of escape. God always prepares a way of escape for his people. Look there in the bush. If you don't believe me, you will find your way of escape if you feel like you've been overburdened and pressured with this thing. If you feel like you have carried your community and you can't seem to go on, and if you feel like you're out there by yourself carrying on a mission, I'm telling you, God will never, no, no, never put more on you than you can bear. I know you've been broken into pieces. Probably seen lightning flash through the air, but God will never, no, no, never, never, no, no, never put more on you than you can bear. I tell you that because I want to encourage you, so as your spirit may also be encouraged, because you're going to need it, ladies and gentlemen. If you are a leader in your community and you are encouraging people and you're carrying the bulk of the people who can't seem to carry themselves, God won't put any more on you. He will lift that burden and send you a support team. He will send you some help. All you need to do is cry out and let him know what your needs are. A closed hand could never get fed. Tell him what you want. Call him up and tell him what you want. It is easy for most of us to be able to function with two people holding us up than working individually by yourself. Remember that it is better for you to unify with other people to carry on a mission, ladies and gentlemen. And don't think that you're in this battle alone. We're all winners, and we're going to make it. The word already says that we have won. Read Revelation. We've already won. Let's get ready to throw our hands in the air and party because we know we've won this thing. Are you ready? We are winners.
Y'all ready?
Get those hands up.
Say yeah.
Say yeah. Somebody say yeah. that's right, ladies and gentlemen, we're moving on up into positions of leadership roles. I don't know if you heard me when I said the United States of Africa merging into one nation. You need to move on up into leadership roles right about now. And for all those leaders out there who've been called and know their purpose, lay your hand on the terminal now, because we are about to acknowledge you and pay homage to you. You are definitely God's chosen people. You have work to do beyond work. You have soldiers to gear up, and you have people to train. I know you don't have to tell me. I have been a leader before. It's a large portion of your time spent worried about your people. Well, you won't have to worry anymore, because we're going to go to a land of milk and honey where it's flourishing in abundance to all of us. I want you to understand that your work has not gone unnoticed, and your labor is not in vain. All the work that you do, your community will begin to pay homage to you for a great job well done. I pray your strength today. I pray encouragement for you. I lift you up in your community. For those who are boasting because they want to be out front, let someone else esteem you. Now is the time to let Omi esteem you. Where you have been pulled down in your spirit in the past, let me build you up and let me lift you up where you belong. Certainly, I have had esteem, and I have been encouraged, and I thank you for those words of encouragement. And I'd like to take this time to encourage every leader out there in the African community that is trying to make a difference, that is speaking out against injustice, that is standing up in an advocacy role, that is advising youth where they're misled. I'd like to thank you, leaders, and pay homage to you, and ask you to step up front, because your work is going to be needed even more so. I decree this day that your burden will be lighter, and that your progress will be greater, and that your gain will also be magnified. I pray that you will be lifted to the highest of heights and be acknowledged by God Almighty. And God will be the one to get the glory. I pray that you will come into positions of God's as we speak now, and that the Godhead who lives on the inside of you, you'll begin to collaborate with him or her, and you will use the tools of God to fight the enemy in the form of principalities, and you will win. We are winners. You will win. Once again, ladies and gentlemen, I thank you for being a part of an establishment for a movement to take place. That's right, ladies and gentlemen, reparation is a movement, and there's a cry from all cardinal directors. I know it is, and there's a number of people crying out. I can hear them in my sleep, so I know it exists, and this movement will not be shut down or smothered, but it will be acknowledged with the help of the leaders in the community. Go ahead on, little G's, with a big head full of wisdom. Go ahead on, little G's. Go ahead on, little G's, with a big head full of wisdom. I told you that a change was about to come. I told you that a change was about to come. I was born in by the river, oh, in a little old shack. Oh, just up the road a piece. It's been a long time coming, but I do know that a change gonna come. When I go to the movies and I see those same old faces, and they say, son, don't hang around. It's been a long time coming, but I do know a change gonna come. When I say to my brother, help me, brother, please. But he winds up pushing me back down on my knees. It's been a long time coming, but I do know a change is gonna come. Oh, yes, it is. Oh, yes, it is. I know a change is about to come. Look for the change, ladies and gentlemen. The change is here. Now join me as I get prepared to go in for the meditation and for calling on of our ancestors. I'm going to pour libations to the east, and then to the west, and then to the south and north and east. I pour libations to the north, and I say Ashe. I pour libations to the west, and I say Ashe. I pour libations to the north, and I say Ashe. I pour libations to the south, and I say Ashe. I set a glass of water out front for my father's side of the people. I set a glass of water for my mother's side of the people. I light a candle for my mother's side of the people. And I light a candle for my father's side. And I say Ashe. I call on Robert Jr. Jenkins. Before I do that, I wash my hands and my face so that I do not meet the Creator with a stale face. And I pour water to the ground so that wherever the water falls, it will take root and spring up. I light a candle for my mother's side of the people to light their way here. I light a candle for my father's side of the people to light their way, and I say Ashe. I call on Robert Jr. Jenkins, Ashe. I call on Robert Jenkins, Ashe. I call Clara Jenkins, Ashe. Tommy Pete Harvey, Ashe. Essie Lee Pope, Ashe. Sam Lilly, Ashe. George Lilly, Ashe. Essie Lee Pope, Ashe. Bessie Lilly, Ashe. Nisha Lilly, Ashe. Isa Lilly, Ashe. Ruby Lilly, Ashe. Lucille Day, Ashe. Louise Lord, Ashe. Ludell James, Ashe. Ruby Lee Brackett, Ashe. Clifford Bracken, Ashe. Emmanuel Day, Ashe. Elijah Day, Ashe. Ivory Day, Ashe. Tom Harvey, Ashe. Mary Lou Hawkins, Ashe. Michelle Harvey, Ashe. I say, so be it, so let it be done. Ladies and gentlemen, you are standing on holy ground. Please prepare to go into the sanctuary with me. As we go into the sanctuary, preparing to climb over our ancestors' back, may the ancestors greet us, and we welcome our ancestors. Thank you. Once again, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Carried Read Room. You have your Omeika 7 in the house, live coming to you straight from my living room. And I am your empress, here to serve you, whatever you like. I am here to serve you. This evening, we're talking about reparation, and was Lincoln our great emancipator? Let's delve into that a little bit, ladies and gentlemen. We all know that Lincoln was the people's choice, and the African-American were hoping that they could place faith in the emancipator and that he would emancipate them. They had a lot of hope for Lincoln and belief that he would do something before Andrew came on the scene. Now, we know that President Andrew also toiled with releasing the slaves, and there were three radical congressmen who were engaged and involved in affairs with black mistresses, and those mistresses were heavily putting pressure on those congressmen about forcing Lincoln to do something for the black people. Now, because these congressmen were so outspoken, Bingham and Stevens, and I'm not certain of the other name, they were so outspoken and pushing of the laws to prevent Abraham Lincoln from shipping the slaves back to Africa, because that's what he wanted to do with them, according to the history books. He wanted to ship them back, and he wanted to be done with them because he felt there was no use for them. But the congressmen were able to show Abraham Lincoln that there were plenty of use for them in the labor force. They were consumers and also good laborers. That meant that they were guaranteed to make purchases throughout the year that they could count on for the economy, and that they could guarantee that they would be available to build the country and to be able to be a part of doing the work that they couldn't do. So Lincoln began to realize it was cheaper to keep us than to send us back to Africa. Now, there were many attempts. Garvey talked about getting a ship together and having the Africans go back. But once we came here and got involved in building this country, we all thought that we had access to a share of the all-American dream, and we constantly aspired to have integration laws. Prior to that, we had our own busing system, African-Americans' busing system. We had up in Harlem our own businesses, hotels. We were well established, but because there was a need to integrate. And you know, ladies and gentlemen, what integration means. It means bring your things, I'll share mine and you share yours. But the African Americans didn't have anything at that time. They had nothing to integrate, so that was a trick. When they sat at the table, they became consumed, and they integrated nothing and received nothing in return. Now, they gave up their businesses, though. A large portion of those businesses were in Minnesota, black businesses right there in Minneapolis. They gave up a large portion of those businesses in Harlem. And where they had corporations and establishments, once they integrated, they no longer ran those businesses, and they became penniless and without ownership of a business. Now, you know, Omi told you earlier, one of the proposals that I had for starting reparation was to allow African Americans to establish owned slaves, he wanted to appease them. He didn't want them angry at him. And he wanted to do something. He was anxious to do something. But it wasn't necessarily for the black African American. And I said that because he could have given them the benefit to earn their own keep by owning those gardens and land and growing crop and cotton and selling it back. But they just couldn't trust the African Americans yet. They didn't have that type of rapport with them. And the business astute wasn't there. They needed to be fine-tuned and trained. So you had Africans who could do the job, but they didn't theoretically have the know-how to handle business. And that's how it is now, ladies and gentlemen. A large portion of us are lacking in those skills. Now, Obama could give us an opportunity to get involved in those business entities to teach you the structure of writing a business proposal and writing up your plan for your business and identifying the population you're serving. All of that could be offered in the form of seminars where the government would only be out of so much money giving this training and tutorials. It could go on immediately, and the people that find themselves fit it for a business could prosper quite a bit in their income taxes, and they could also offer service to the community. Something like that needs to be looked into immediately. Now, the African brothers and sisters have been doing business in their community anyway without the training. We somehow teach ourselves how to do the work. You find a lot of people that are into taxes. They'll go back and take the courses, and they'll learn how to do the taxes, and they'll begin to implement small services in their community for quite some while to families in the community for a long time. But to legitimize those businesses, give them circulating income to run the corporation and to be able to hire family and staff, and to also be able to pay the taxes quarterly, it takes a little filthy lucre, ladies and gentlemen. And that means that there have to be money set aside so they could do these things. And even when you start a non-for-profit business, just paying for the business license and paying for the startup fees is very, very expensive. Not to mention you're going to have to use some of your money up front for startup fees. Now, herein lies where reparation could come in, the startup fees, capitalizing on the incorporation part of it. Right now, there is a company that is offering free incorporation as a gift to help jumpstart the nation. But you do have to pay the state for the documents, but they are offering the service free. There are a number of collaborating corporations that's willing to work with you and give in-kind free service to the population to help jumpstart the economy. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I know a lot of you are saying, but everybody's not fitted and suited for business. No, they might not be. But they might discover if it's something that they like to do, and they've been doing it anyway, all they need to learn is the business aspect or somebody in the corporation is going to run the business. Nine times out of ten, you have 7 years to play around with this. And if you don't have a job anyway now and you're lacking filthy lucre and income, it might not be a bad option or way to go. It might be something advantageous for you, and you might see the benefit of it. I certainly would take some time to look into it and make inquiries. Now, on this end is going to be talking to the listening audience about collaboration and finding out exactly how do we make our petition known to Obama in our communities. I know that there's a board in every state and they're doing different things. So when you get a chance to meet with those staff members, bring it to their attention that you want reparation put on the agenda and you would like a team of people to address it. Then you can get this topic going and put it on the mind of Obama so he can wake up and address it. I know he got a lot of stuff to do. Don't tell me the man got a wife who is cute and dressed up and got everything going, and he's got a life where he's got to come home and take care of her and those two children. Then he's probably got a dog and a cat. And on top of that, everybody's pulling at him, asking him, Bama, 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 when you going to sit down with me? Bama, Bama, can you help finance this? There's a lot of people pulling at Obama. I know that. But he could assign somebody to you so you won't have to pull at him. But you certainly got to come up with a plan. Start writing out the things that you think could go into reparation. Create something creative so that when you go in front of Obama, you'll be very impressive to his support system. You probably won't see him. You'll probably see the support system. But nevertheless, Obama is accessible. There's a phone line that you can call in, and there is a team of people that work with him. I'm telling you this because we, the people, in order to form a more perfect union, we are going to exhaust some inalienable rights that we are indubitably able to ascertain by virtue of us being what? Citizens. That's what gives us the right to ask for these things. First of all, you got to know you got rights. If Abraham Lincoln knew you had rights when you were a slave and created the Emancipation Proclamation, you should really know that you have rights now. You have a right to write your congressman and talk about a forum being placed in your community to discuss reparation, or at least to kick it around, if nothing else. You have a right to that. And the reason why I'm telling you that is because most of the time African Americans don't know their rights, and they don't know exactly what to ask for and what to demand. And most of the time, if the wheel don't squeak, don't give it the oil. You won't get dealt with. But you still walk around and you complain and you cry about all the problems we have. But why not be a solution developer? Develop some solutions. Put them in your journal so that next time when we talk, we can go over those. And if not, call in and give Omi some options of what we could do. We want to get them captured and recorded on tape so that when we refer back to this topic, we'll have solutions and not a lot of problems. Now, ladies and gentlemen, you could be so creative with coming up with ways to be issued a check. Now, I can see you right now going to the mailbox. This is the week that Obama's going to pay reparation. You and five other kids, and you got your house shoes on, and your robe is dragging the ground, and y'all on your way to the mailbox. Children running and hollering, saying, Obama's going to send us our bike. Obama's going to send us our money. And you go on with your head rag on, rollers in your hair, saying, I'm fixing to get me another lifestyle. I'm going to move up out of this hood. So everyone wants to move out the hood, right? That's right. So when you get ready to move up out of the hood and find your place, one that you can pay for and one that you can meet the payments on, because we don't want none of this stuff getting in a place and can't afford it. We want you to be able to take the funds and do something, first of all, with putting a roof over your head, a permanent roof over your head, and paying your bills on a regular basis. We want you to be able to go back to school and educate yourself, establish institutions and businesses and corporations. We want you to do all that because you would then be jump-starting the community and giving the money back. But don't forget, I did prophesy that we're all going to Africa one day. Take it from me, someday we will all be free. Oh, take it from me, someday we will all be free. I did tell you we was going to be free one day, didn't I? We're going to be free. And I'm not talking about working these labor jobs. I'm talking about working on your own land over in the Arcadia land, looking at the rolling hills and going down into the mines and looking at the mines and seeing the diamonds being buffed and shined and knowing that there are more down in the ground and there's enough and abundant for all of us. And looking at the oil wells spring up like lakes, fountains, right in your backyard, making you realize I'm rich. I'm rich. And I've always been rich, just didn't know how to access it. We're going to go back home one day. We're going to go back home one day. We're going back to Africa. I don't care if it's 2x2. I don't care if it's by the ship or by the airways. We are somehow going to get back to Africa to tend to that land and that business of ours. We got business over in Africa. Take it from me, someday we will all be free. Oh, take it from me, someday we will all be free. We're going to get to that freedom land, ladies and gentlemen. I know it. I feel it in my spirit every day when I get up. It's a new day where Africa's calling me home, calling me back to Tekanu, calling me back to the pyramid, calling me back to the step pyramid, calling me back to the underground, just calling me back in general to see the carvings on the wall. I don't know about you, but I got a feeling that we all gonna get there together. And when we get there, ladies and gentlemen, it won't be no angriness and fussing and screaming, that everything will be available and abundance will be present. So nobody will have to covet their brother's items and goods. We'll go there on one accord. I have a dream that is a dream that I can sleepwalk through, not one that I'm postponing, but one that is here, not in the near future, but now. Now, freedom. Now, freedom. I didn't say that we would get our freedom. I said, now, freedom. Give us free now, because we need to be in that continent tending to the business of our land. We've gone to school, and we've done all that. Ladies and gentlemen, let me slow myself down here and go to station identification for a second here.
Over my head.
Gentlemen, over my head, I can see the God over my head. And I know that there is a God somewhere there in Africa, in Egypt, waiting for us so that we can tap in to the original powers. Aren't you going to be glad when that great getting up day comes, when we have to board those ships and planes and go abroad with dual citizenship and all dual citizenship rights in our hand to land, reparation, and access to all raw minerals. Ladies and gentlemen, you ought to visualize sometime. You ought to see yourself over in Africa right now, getting off that plane, going into your homeland, going into your vineyard, and where those goods have been laid up for you. Your goods are laid up and your land is already laid up. God has already predestined it. It is your purpose to be, in your homeland tilting the soil. Believe on it. It will come, ladies and gentlemen. It will come. Visualize it. And once again, ladies and gentlemen, I want you to know that this reparation thing is real. And there's a lot more people that want you to have it than you know. There are a lot more people that want you to have it than you know. They are more with you than against you. So if you're just rubbing upside of people just to keep them happy so they won't be angry with you and you turn against your own flesh and blood and your own people and say you don't want it because you don't want people to be angry at you because you feel like you've gotten enough set aside, then that's fine. You might be one of those people who feel like you have filthy lucre coming out of the bed and hanging out the ceiling. But there are some of us who don't have that. And we believe that once we get wealth, then we can live like kings and queens, like the royalty that we know we are. Why would Omi be telling you she's an emperor and want to live like a commoner? If I'm an emperor, you know I'm going to live like a queen. And all of you queens out there, I see you, every one of you out there with your turbans on and your gaily wraps. You are all wannabe queens, and don't tell me you're not. If you're one of those princes who don't know that you need to be a princess, then I say shame on you for not wanting to be dressed and decked out in royalty, because royalty is how we came to this universe, if you did not know it. Hatshepsut was dressed in all of her fine royalties, and Nefertiti, too. Now you're going to have Queen Emperor Omi, all decked out too, governing a land and a continent, not just a city, but governing and taking names and managing things, because I am a manager, if you didn't know that. I manage this place around here, okay? Women are born managers. That's what we do. It's just what we're good at, all right? I'll just leave it like that. But I know in my spirit that there's a throne somewhere for Lady Jaguar to be administering and managing with her priest. Not just by herself. We do things in duality, and we must be mindful of when we're in Rome, we do as the Romans do. When we get to Africa, we will rule in duality. Like it or not, I don't care how many times you scribble and scrape the woman off the wall over in Egypt, we were meant to rule in duality. Our men's very soul aches when we're not around with our oxygen. Just to fuse their spirit. They become ill and sick and don't know why. Because we were created for the black man and the black man was created for the black woman. Like it or not, it's just how it is. Woman was not meant to be alone and nor was man because it was carved out in the mutilated Bible. So we are to be together in rulership and duality. Once again, you're going to have to get in order for rulership. Some people don't know how to have royalty and how to rule. Excuse me. Some people are so afraid and ashamed of having royalty that they talk themselves out of it. Well, Omi knows exactly how to handle filthy lucre and what to do with it and how to make sure that it's properly distributed to those who need it in their hands. So if you don't want reparation and don't know what to do with it, just hand it on over to Omi because she sure can tell you where to put it. Now, I'm not just being facetious. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm talking to you because you need to know this because so many of us have been so docile and hard on ourselves, more difficult on ourselves than we ought to be, more shame-faced, dragging our feet, calling ourselves, I'm a minority. You ain't never been no minority than you have never been a jackal. You have been royalty. You've never been a minority. That term in and of itself does something to you inwardly. By the virtue of using it, if we stop using the term minority, then we can turn this thing around. You've always been royalty. How come everybody else know that you're suited for royalty but yourself? When you walk into place, you command the respect of people. And when you talk like E.F. Hutton, people listen. Because they know your history. They know your history. They know where you're from. They probably know more about you than you know about yourself. African Americans, get on your job. Start reading your history so you know why you need royalty and what you have to go over there and rule. You'll know why you have to go over there and rule and put things in place. There's a number of people who are not educated there and don't have the whereabouts and skills. They don't have the whereabouts and the skills to handle management, but some of you do. Then put your gele scarves on, put on your African garb, and go back to your homeland and be a part of the establishment to reunite two kingdoms together. United States of Africa. I like how that sounds. I like the fact that we're possibly going to get dual citizenship in both countries. I like how that sounds. And you will, too, once you discover what is going on right now. The Renaissance of Africa is currently going on now, ladies and gentlemen. If you are outside of the conversation or locked out of the info, you need to get your 411 and 911 together and get on the topic of discussion on this Internet to find out what is going on with Africa. Everybody in their right mind is going there like it's California, hunting for gold, mining our business, mind you. That means you need to be getting a plane ticket or getting on the boat. The boat is already done left. You done missed the boat. Now, see, we made it here on Good Ship Jesus. Now we're going to miss the boat getting back to Africa. How can we mess up in 2 centuries, messed up with becoming a slave? Now we're messed up because we missed the boat. We got to get this together because we're going to get back to Africa. And that is our piece of land. And we're going to help rule that and manage that. I don't care what anyone says. If you got your right frame of mind on right now, and if you're not thinking Ghana and Guinea, if you're not thinking the Congos, you better start getting those drums out and let Mother Nature take you back to where you belong. Let those drums drive you and fill you up and take you away. Take it from me, someday we will all be free. Oh, take it from me, someday we will all be free. We're going to get our freedom, and we're going to get our freedom sooner than what we think. Prepare yourself for it. Get ready for it, ladies and gentlemen. I know it's on its way here. I know it is, because the United States of America wouldn't be over there turning things around, working faster than lightning, trying to establish themselves in another continent, and going there, burning themselves to a crisp, not being able to handle the sun. But you and I have been made for the sun. We can sweat to the sweat of our blouse, and it wouldn't hurt us. You and I can go in those caves and hunt for those diamonds and buff them. You and I can pump that oil to sun up to sundown. Look at the money flowing in. Look at the filthy lucre coming in where babies can get to college and babies can have the shoes they need. Schools can be built. Mothers can go back to school and establish themselves. Look at the finance with all of these raw minerals. There's not anything that you could not do for the system, long as you got oil continuing to come in and diamonds flowing in your backyard. Ladies and gentlemen, you ought to visualize with me. If you're not visualizing now, become childlike and visualize. And Europeans, our children, we still love you. We have never stopped loving you. As a matter of fact, we love you so much that we refuse to discipline you. We love you so much that we haven't taken the time to discipline you or to tell you the problem that you have caused. We love you so much that we want to be your friends. But we have to stop and take the time to tell you the truth. We really do. And on that, I'm going to tell you the truth on the next show about things that we can make a change with. You're in this thing together with us, and you're not going to the moon. So don't be talking about, fly me to the moon. I think I'll take my time in the skies. Fly me to the moon. No, you're not going to fly to the moon. You're going to be right there assisting and aiding us. No, you're not going to be in rulership. You're not going to put nobody back into a fortitude slavery or servantry. You won't have that role this time. But there is use for you, and there's things that you have to do too. Condition your people and get their hearts set that they can accept what is about to come. I feel it, I feel it, I feel it. It's in the air. It's in the air. I know it's in the air. And you're feeling it too, and don't tell me you're not. You know that there's an urgency. You know that there's an antsiness, and there is an effort to bring people abroad to help by any means necessary. People are coming to their senses. And some of the foolish things are going to confirm the wise. Hear me again. Some of the foolish things are going to confirm the wise. Those who once thought themselves to be intellectual and wise, we are going to confirm you, this African people that you thought to be Bush. We are going to confirm you. You're going to be surprised how we come back to ourselves and remember who we once were. Ladies and gentlemen, African American, you need not be fussing with your brothers and sisters and arguing. Stop that arguing. Quit arguing with your brothers and sisters about what it is you don't want in the reparation. Cool it. Put that on ice. Save your energy because you got real work to do. And stop standing up arguing over something you have no facts on. Get the facts on a thing. Caucasian, I hope that you could go home and talk to some of your people who are stagnant and who are sick in their madness of racism. Talk them out of it. Tell them it won't go well with them if they continue in that madness. Talk them out of it. Tell them they have to leave that alone. The bottom line is that this continent will be shared by many people, and you're going to have to learn to get along and collaborate on all accounts. We are the oldest people in the universe. We are the mothers and the fathers. We are the elders, and we'll be treated that way. And we'll be respected for what we know and how we're going to save the universe. That's right. We're going to save the universe, and you will applaud us for doing so. You will support us. It's already been written. So go in peace, ladies and gentlemen. And on that note, I say, have a good evening, and let's get ready to get up out of here, because I'm on my way out of here, because I'm on my way to the freedom land. I don't know about you, but I'm on my way. And I tried to tell you that before, that I was on my way. I'm on my way because I know we're ready to get ready to pack some bags and leave up out of here. So get your bags packed too, because we're ready to go to Africa. I told you that we are going to be free, and this subject and topic was on Give Us Free. Take it from me, someday we will be free. Oh, take it from me, someday we will all be free. Oh, take it from me, someday we will all be free. We're going to all be free, ladies and gentlemen. Free at last, free at last. Thank God Almighty. Take it from me, someday we will all be free. Oh, take it from me, someday we will all be free. Have a good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and a great weekend. Until we meet again, oh, double and bubble boy to you, y'all. Have a great weekend.